and welcome to Detroit Today. I'm Nick Austin, filling in for Stephen Henderson. For many, the people nearest to us mean everything. They provide us with hope and joy. They inspire us to do better and to do more. And sure, they provoke us and cause us harm and pain, but without them, there's little we can do. In cities, states, and nations, people are crucial. Often referred to as human capital by scholars, people are the engines for economic prosperity. Most economists believe that more people living and working in our towns and cities, the more likely we are all better off because of the innovation, activity, and capital swirling about from all of that work. This is probably why population declines scare cities and state planners. When people leave and there aren't more people to replace them, tax bases decline, schools often get worse, and job opportunities become much more scarce. That's certainly been true here in Detroit, and it's also a trend in much of Michigan. Michigan's population is aging. Many young people are moving away, and the number of people having kids is dropping year over year, according to the latest numbers from the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services. Later in the hour, we're going to talk about COVID and RSV and discuss the way these things are affecting the health of Michigan's population. But before we get there, we have some questions about population declines and slowing population growth. What does all this mean for Michigan's economy? What does it mean for Michiganders already living here? And is there anything positive about a declining population? And if not, what can we do to reverse this trend? Here to talk about this is Donald Grimes, a regional economic specialist at the University of Michigan. He's been looking at population changes in Michigan and how that impacts its economy. Don, welcome to Detroit Today.
You're welcome. Thank you.
So before we get into what's happening in terms of Michigan loss, I just want to figure out from the outset, why is it so important to track this? Why do we want more people, especially in cities and states and populations to grow?
Well, most people, at least between the ages of 20 and 65, are working. Or if they're unemployed, they're mostly looking for work. And so in order to have a growing workforce, we need more people. And if you don't have a growing workforce, it becomes very hard for employers to find workers. So if you want to add jobs, you need more people.
All right, we're going to unpack that a little bit later on, but in terms of what the population loss and decline is looking like in Michigan, can you tell us what the numbers and the data bear out?
Yeah, okay. Well, since we sort of peaked in 2019, and then because of COVID, we have lost population in 2020 and 2021. We think the state will also lose population in 2022. And then begin growing slowly in 2023 and 2024 as the impact of COVID sort of dissipates. But the growth in Michigan, as you grow from 2024 to 2045, will be fairly slow, roughly a third of the rate of population growth that we'll see in the country overall. And then after about 2045, we think the population in Michigan will begin to decline.
Oh, and in terms of how this will have an effect on Michigan, you did mention that it's happening at a slower rate than other states. What does that do in terms of competitive balance, in terms of what we can do for Michigan's economy? Do we have any data or any specific information that you can point to that gives an example of how that can harm us?
Well, the politicians will probably be reallocating a smaller congressional delegation as we go forward.
Right. We already had that happen once, right?
Yeah, that's going to happen. Guaranteed. I mean, we'll continue to lose congressional seats relative to the country, and that indicates that Michigan will be less powerful. politically in Washington. You know, then also as you know, as a smaller state, in some sense that makes it less attractive to you know, corporations to locate big production activity or headquarters activity in the state of Michigan. They worry about that they'll be able to find workers. You know, so there are lots of problems that way. Of course, it'll probably put a damper on house price increases because if you have smaller population and then eventually declining population, you'll have smaller households. A lot of the federal money is tied that comes into the state is tied to your population. So we'll get less federal money relative to other states. So there's a lot of downside economically to having slow and then declining population.
We're speaking with Don Grimes, who's a regional economic specialist at the University of Michigan, talking about Michigan's population changes, slow growth, and potentially declining population in 2045, as you just mentioned. Don, why is this happening here?
Well, you know, population growth comes from three factors, really. First is what's called natural population growth. That's the difference between births and deaths in a state. Secondly, a state will attract international migrants, both legal and illegal migrants. They get counted in the census data. And then the third is the what is called domestic migration, where people who are already residents of the United States, you know, basically move to determine where they want to live. Michigan is getting a relatively small number of international migrants compared to the country as a whole. We get about 2% of the international migrants in the U.S. Michigan suffers a net domestic population outmigration as people who are, you know, at or near retirement age leave to a generally a warmer climate. And also then people who are younger in the workforce tend to leave to find better employment opportunities. You know, that's very common for college graduates to move to another state. And finally, we have births minus deaths or natural population growth. And right now that's running at a positive or will be running at a positive about 18,000 in 2024. When we get past COVID. I mean, right now we've got more deaths than births. That's temporary because of COVID. But we'll get to a positive number in 2024, and that's a real, you know, source of growth. But that drastically changes over time. By about 2040, we think there'll be more deaths in Michigan than there are births. And that excess of deaths over birth grows over the rest of the 2040s, and that is what really drives Michigan's population to a negative growth rate after 2045.
A pretty bleak outlook there, Don, but if I'm looking at this selfishly, I could see someone saying, well, wait a second, you know, we had issues in terms of job growth in the economy here. Fewer people would mean more opportunity for jobs, maybe less people on the road so I can have personally a better experience on the freeway. Maybe more opportunities for me to find better jobs. And if I have a better job and I'm more secure, more likely to have kids, then the economy grows and other people will want to be in a place that has such a good economy. Why doesn't that model work?
Well, I mean, maybe that's true, but you know, generally people prefer growth as opposed to no growth. I mean, it definitely will help wages when you have a tight labor force. Wages tend to go up. I mean, I was listening to your previous discussion of the increasing in the minimum wage, and increasing in the minimum wage is almost a redundant now.
Right.
For the most of the country and certainly most of Michigan, because, you know, wages have gone up so much because we don't have enough workers, and that'll continue. So the tight labor market will help increase wages. So that's a positive sign of it. That's offset in some cases by also higher inflation. So it doesn't mean you'll get a real wage. Your nominal wage may go up, but you may lose that gain through higher inflation, which again comes about through shortages.
All right. We're speaking again with Don Grimes, regional economic specialist at the University of Michigan, who's been looking at population changes in Michigan and how it impacts our economy here. But we also want to speak with you. Phone number here is 313-577-1019. What do you make of Michigan's declining population? What do you think we can do to encourage people to have kids? And do you think population decline is a good thing or a bad thing? If it's bad, how do we slow it down and reverse the trend? And if it's good, why do you think it is a good thing? Give us a call again, 313-577-1019. Again, that's 313-577-1019. Don, I do have some questions that have come in. One thing we wanted to ask about is with this declining population, one thing that we're having issues with is housing availability. Again, could there be any kind of offset by having an ability for people to now get more affordable housing by having fewer people in the state?
Yeah, I mean, that'll reduce the demand for housing, but the real solution to our housing affordability problem is we're going to have to build build more houses. And of course, geographic location of the housing stock matters a great deal, and a population gain or loss. Mm-hmm. And much of the population loss is going to occur in the more rural counties in Michigan. Most of the counties we think will actually have a smaller population in 2050 than they did in 2020. But those are mostly small counties, rural counties. And so, you know, the fact that there's excess housing stock in those counties where people really don't want to live to some extent, you know, that's not going to help solve the housing crisis in Southeast Michigan or in the Grand Rapids area.
Right, right. We do have a comment from RZS on Twitter, a question. He asks, what about Michigan's as a great source of fresh water? Won't this attract corporations and ultimately more population? So cities near the water will grow as a result of access to that resource. You spoke just a moment ago about location. Is that something that we could factor in? Could that help offset things, or could we use that to our advantage?
Yeah, it's a great potential gain, but unfortunately, we don't have anything that allows us to quantify the number of people who are going to move to Michigan because we have all these water resources.
Right.
You know, that will have to be balanced by the weather, which seems to drive people to warmer climates still. But the other aspect, I guess, is that if we're going to use water as a resource to attract population, especially the Great Lakes, we're going to have to make sure that the Great Lakes are pristine in terms of their environmental cleanup. So the Great Lakes Restoration Act and all of the efforts to ensure that all of our Great Lakes communities are really in good shape is really important if we're going to do that. And so that would be my one recommendation, is we should make sure that the Great Lakes are potentially attractive in case that movement comes about.
Right, right. And like I said, we do have calls coming up right now, and I want to get to some of your calls as we continue our conversation with Don Grimes, economist out of the University of Michigan. And we're going to start off with Sean in Detroit. Sean, go ahead. You're on Detroit Today.
Hi. I'm a millennial, a parent of now three kids, had twins in August.
Congratulations.
And I just want to kind of bring into the conversation around, yeah, kind of congratulations, but you know, kids are very expensive. Our childcare payment is significantly more than our mortgage payment is in Detroit. I just also feel like the growth of wages from my parents' generation to our generation hasn't really kept up with the increasing costs, especially of childcare. And so I can see, like, it's obviously kids are great and very happy to have our kids, but it feels like an economic challenge for us to maintain kids. And it was a big question when we were having our second, now third kid with the twins. And so I just want to kind of add that to the conversation around the considerations people have around starting a family. You have to do it a lot later in life, and it's much more expensive and kind of a bigger pill to swallow.
Yeah, I think that we do see those trends here in Michigan especially, but also nationwide. As the caller just mentioned there, Sean just mentioned, Don, is incentivizing childbirth or childcare, making it not as expensive to raise children, how could that factor in as a potential solution to this issue?
Well, the problem is we have a very, people are in childbearing age, really up to maybe, 35 years old. So the real question is, how many people do you have that are, between 20 and 35 years old? And that's pretty stagnant or declining. And so and then at the other end, you have a lot of people who are 65 and older, and that population is growing very fast. So it's not just an issue of people, choosing to have children or not, although that is clearly we're having smaller and smaller families over time. But it's also whether or not you have people of childbearing age as opposed to having a large senior population, and that creates a problem of generating enough kids just because you don't have enough people of childbearing age.
Yeah, certainly. And I understand that. But I suspect Sean would mention or others would mention that to raise a child here in Michigan may seem more expensive. One of the incentives to leave the state or go somewhere else would be that it's more affordable. So could having policies, child tax credit, things like that have an impact on that? Are there any solutions related to that that you've seen that could help?
It's obviously a consideration for people when they form their families as to whether or not how expensive a child is to raise, and that clearly matters. So anything we could do to make it less expensive, but even if you look at European countries, which have much more generous family policies, they're suffering from a shortage of young people as well. So that'll help, but I think the sort of decisions to have smaller families tend to exceed the financial issue. Okay. Seems to be more of a sociological, and of course then you have fewer people of childbearing age. So
certainly
it would help, but I don't think that's a solution.
Gotcha. Sean in Detroit, again, thank you so much for your call and joining to the conversation as we move now to Jody in Detroit. Jody, go ahead. You're on Detroit Today.
Hey, yeah. I mean, I moved to Detroit from Los Angeles in January of 2020. I accidentally won an auction for a $1,000 house online, is how I ended up here. I started looking at the global warming data modeling that's out there. And in like 10 years, the whole West Coast into Texas is on fire year round. And then you look at the little green mitten just, happy up there surrounded by water. And I got to say, that was a huge motivation.
Yeah.
I can wash my car again. I can have a lawn without someone yelling at me. I don't know, like people ask me all the time, why did you come here? And I'm like, you have all the water in the world. And then the next question is, well, what about the weather? And I don't know, I don't find the weather here that terrible. Just put on some more clothes. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't have kids. But I have a lot of friends with children back in California, and they're very tempted to come out here because of affordable housing. And then I don't know if this is a rumor or if it's true, but I think I heard that if your kid graduates from a high school in Detroit, they get some kind of credit to go to college.
That is
accurate.
And
that is very interesting to them. So I don't know. I really enjoyed living here. I mean, I've even started a little show about living here. Kind of discovering all the magical things that exist here in Michigan.
All right. Well, we can get the ads going with you and the state of Michigan, put you in touch with them to have some successful pitches, bring out some people from the left coast. But I present the Jody's statements to you, Don. Have you heard anything about that in terms of increasing our population by stealing people from other states?
Well, I mean, obviously, that would be beneficial to Michigan, but actually, the place where we might benefit the most would be to increase international migration.
Yeah, yeah.
Because those are people who are moving to the United States, they just have to decide where they're going to live, as opposed to somebody who's already, you know, located in a different state and then has to uproot and make the, you know, big decision of moving. And you know, that's an expensive proposition. So one of the things that might work to Michigan's great benefit is to increase international migration, which to the state. And one thing to keep in mind about international migrants is that we actually have a very well-educated and very skilled international migration migrant population. They're actually much better educated in Michigan than the native-born population. So if we could attract more international migrants, that might be an easier way to grow the population than trying to generate more births or attract
right,
people.
Right, right.
Of course, the other aspect is to keep people from leaving. So I would do anything we could to encourage people when they graduate from college, in particular, to really consider an employer in the state of Michigan. And I would certainly hope that Michigan employers can establish a better effort to reach college graduates as they were graduating, maybe get them in as interns, you know, during their senior year, junior or senior year, anything to keep college students from relocating elsewhere.
Yeah, very thought-provoking conversation we're having right now with Donald Grimes, University of Michigan Regional Economic Specialist. And when we return, we're going to have David in Royal Oak as well as Elena in Detroit to contribute to this conversation as we continue discussing Michigan's declining population as well as some solutions here on Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET.
WDET is your connection to what's happening in Detroit.
WDET is your place for open dialogue about the issues that impact you.
Stay in the know.
This is WDET FM,
Detroit's NPR station.
Detroit Today here on 101.9 WDET. I'm Nick Austin, filling in for Stephen Henderson, discussing birth declining, the declining birth rate and population decline, as well as the future consequences of it and potential solutions here in Michigan with regional economic specialist at the University of Michigan, Donald Grimes. We're going to go to your calls in just a moment, but we have some good comments on Twitter that I want to include, including Name, who says, growth has never been equitable. We are innovative and can find ways to make population decline efficient and fairer for everyone. We also have Big Neo on Twitter, who says, want more kids? Create universal health care, universal child care, world-class public schools, regardless of zip code, and job placement centers for graduates. Do that, folks will have more kids. Good point and perspective there from Big Neo. I think if you want to increase Michigan's population, you just need more people to listen to my Quiet Storm episodes of Soul Saturday at 8 p.m. on Saturday nights here at 101.9 WDET when I put on the sexy voice. But right now we're talking about the population decline here in Michigan, and I want to include the voice of David in Royal Oak. David, go ahead. You're on Detroit Today.
Three or four different things that I see that are imperative to the growth. One is more and better mass transit.
Okay. Go ahead.
That goes everywhere from buses. There was something on just a while ago about building more shelters and making buses more efficacious, and also that echoes for trains, trolleys, maybe even a subway, a way for people to get to work, and more and better affordable housing. you know, kicking people out that used to live in a neighborhood and replacing them with people that could afford the newer, more expensive.
Sure. The
better housing.
Yeah. How housing in the area, affordable housing, mass transit, perhaps more manufacturing. And David, I do appreciate your points. I don't know. There are other concerns, would be kicking people out of their homes and replacing them with more people that can afford them. But I will state that to the extent that we've already discussed a solution related to potentially immigration, I want to ask you, Donald Grimes, are there things that Michigan can do to make itself more of a place where international immigrants might be more interested in arriving at to help increase our population?
You know, off the top of my head, I can't think of any simple approaches. Just to be, Michigan has a policy. Actually, Governor Snyder was actually well recognized the importance of international migrants, I hope that that continues. As there was a push under President Trump to really demonize international migrants. And that was unfortunate because we really do need them to grow our population and to grow our workforce. And, so just this whole idea that a recognition that international migrants have historically been extremely important to the prosperity of the United States. And even in Michigan, if you go back, 100 years, it was international migrants that were really growing the state, and then migrants from the South in response to the growth of the auto industry. My own father actually migrated from Tennessee to Detroit in the 1950s. Yes. And, there was a huge movement in response to our economic prosperity. So, I think international migrants, just to become a more welcoming place, just to continue to make sure that Michigan is an economically prosperous state, to grow the economy, and really to get into those college students before they graduate and start, moving to Chicago or Denver or San Francisco, and make sure that that they consider staying in right. Michigan after right. After college. I think that would really be helpful.
That's right. Two big points. You mentioned international immigration and keeping our own here in the state, college graduates. No more brain drain from Michigan. But happy to include right now Elena in Detroit with the conversation. Elena, go ahead. You're on Detroit Today.
Thank you. Yeah, I wanted to mention a few things that I think really contribute to making life so hard here for young people. One of them is that the wages are so low. Two is the tax on pensions so that people inheriting get far less. People have lost homes in such exponential rates here in Detroit that there isn't a family home that people can stay in. And the other big question is, why do other countries have people that are educated when we can't do that here? It's because of student debt and the lack of access to decent education. All of these things are, of course, really important on class and race. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Elena, for your points. I present that to you, Don, in terms of student debt in Michigan. Anything that we can do or any impact that you've seen in your research and studies?
I was listening to how General Motors, I think, was going to create a fund to try to interest people in information technology careers, and I think that's a good answer. But one of the things that occurred to me is I'm sitting there thinking, it would be really, really nice if General Motors offered a scholarship and an internship program to anybody who's going to college and working in IT. I mean, all the auto companies are going to need information technology workers, computer programmers and such, if they're, as they try to make this transition to electric vehicles. And they need to really do a much better job of reaching out to people in those occupations and the potential occupations as they're getting trained in colleges. We're going to be in a world of hurt if we can't keep those computer programmers and engineers and designers in Michigan to help that auto industry make a transition to electric vehicles.
Yeah,
that's really, really important.
Right, right. Thanks again, Elena in Detroit, for your call and points. As we have more calls, we're going to move to John and Eastside in just a moment. Before I do that, though, Tanka on Twitter says, I think the infrastructure in Detroit and possibly Michigan needs to be in place in order to sustain a larger population. There's been multiple accounts with police being corrupt and always hearing about the terrible housing in the city. If there were more opportunities for residents to live in proper housing and affordable housing, I think people would feel comfortable enough to actually begin a family in the city of Detroit and stay in Michigan. The city has so much to offer, and there's continuous growth every year. So Tonka's opinions there on Twitter. Thanks for presenting those to us as we move right now, as I mentioned, to John on the East Side. John, go ahead. You're on Detroit Today.
It's a great conversation. Down here in Jefferson Chalmers, we meet people all the time at community events that have moved from Chicago, from L.A., from New York for affordable housing. They just can't afford those areas anymore. So I see us as, with the natural disasters, the wildfires, the hurricanes, the mudslides and everything else, a lot of people see this as a really great place. And I think that you know, watching all the news about the buses going from the southern border up to New York, why not invite some of our immigrants to come here? We have so much vacant land. And on that note, I think we should have a balance of the urban sprawl should end. I think that they should repopulate the major cities like Pontiac, Mount Clemens, Detroit, Flint, and stop bulldozing more natural land for housing, and just utilize what we have here.
Right on. Thank you so much, John, again from the East Side with your call, and I present his points to you. Now, Don, do you have any response to John from the East Side?
Yeah, maybe Governor Whitmer could get Governor Abbott in Texas to divert some of those flights to Michigan. You know, when they are buses. So maybe that's a good idea. Tell them we'll take them. But I think that the idea that was sort of implicit in some of the comments that that we really need to have better public amenities, would really be useful. And that involves a lot of capital expenditure. You could talk about roads and parks and, public access to the Great Lakes. The state government, has basically got a pretty good, hefty surplus over the last few years because of, COVID relief funding from the federal government and relatively large, tax payments, over the last couple of years. So maybe they should, look at it, making sure that we've got, enhanced, public amenities, public facilities built, capital expenditures, and that might help attract new residents in the future.
Yeah, Don, it was a cruel stunt that those governors in some of those states ahead of the election, Florida and Texas, pulled by just uprooting people, immigrants, and just putting them on buses under subterfuge to go to other places. Cruel stunt. However, I think the sentiment is there. People, we would accept people with open arms, and they would help out our declining population, as you have mentioned. As we move right now to Matt in Dearborn. Matt, go ahead. You're on Detroit Today.
Hi. I don't see how the population going down hurts anything. And in that, we just had 8 billion people. They just rung up 8 billion. I mean, and you seem to also be talking from the business point of view, always the business. But, is it really hurting anything going down? I don't think it is. I mean, GM complains, but they'll find workers. Pay them more money. What's the matter with that? And yet you said there's more inflation. Well, All I got to do is charge a little less. I don't know. That's my take on it.
Hey, appreciate your take. Appreciate a little bit of pushback. I'll present it to you, Don, to respond to Matt and Dearborn's pushback.
Well, I mean, your 8 billion is a worldwide population. And one of the problems with the population growth is that it's occurring in less prosperous parts of the world, in Africa, in India, and Southeast Asia, and those places, are not as prosperous as Europe or the United States, Japan. And so you sort of have a misallocation of where the population growth is occurring. In terms of, they're going to have struggle in Africa and Southeast Asia in terms of just, providing very basic services to their population, including food, whereas where population is not adequate, or the potential population is not adequate as in, Europe and the United States. And you can't, just count the population. Part of the problem in the United States, in Michigan, is that we're getting older. And so, unless the older population, continues to work past, 65 and normal retirement age, we're not going to have enough people to provide services to those elderly and children who are not working. Yeah. And that's not just going to be, not just going to be solved with higher wages. You actually do need more bodies to provide those services to that population, to the growing population group of elderly.
Yeah, what I'm hearing is our economy, our area could support more people, and it would be beneficial to us all economically and socially if we had more people. Perhaps we can do that by having more immigration, as international immigration, as having better policy for retaining our own college graduates. Donald Grimes, thank you so much for joining us for this very thoughtful conversation on a point that I don't think we get to dive into enough here. Thanks again for joining us.
You're welcome. And I enjoyed the conversation. You guys had a lot of callers.
Yeah,
thanks.
Yeah, you helped out with that. Thanks so much. And when we return here on 101.9 WDET in Detroit today, we're going to continue talking about Michigan's population, but this time with a focus on the health and well-being of our citizens as we check in with a infectious disease expert about how COVID and RSV are trending in the state. We'll return with Detroit Today on those topics next.